anyhow. Hey, open your Bibles this morning. I'm going to end up in Ephesians 6, but I want to begin in 1 John chapter 5. I'd like you to open your Bibles. We're not going to project this one. And so just open the Bible. I want you to see this. We have a very important topic, a serious topic to begin this morning, spiritual warfare. And I appreciate you praying with us and for us. But I want to begin by looking at two contrasting positional declarations that John makes as he's closing his wonderful epistle. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. I'd like you to see this. So whether it's on your phone or your Bible, have it open in front of you. And there's an outline in the back of your bulletin to take some notes. We're not going to try to go all over a lot of cross-references this morning. We'll try to stick to the main text, but want to see this. Okay? And Father, as we look at this important topic, we ask for concentration. Father, remind us about the true nature of the warfare. We get caught up in all kinds of different things. Lord, may we be diligent. May we pay attention. May we put on our armor so that we're not defeated by the evil one. Thank you for your truth. And thank you that we do not have to lean on our own understanding, but can trust you. Thank you for your written word in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll take it apart. Very simple here. John says, we know, verse 19, we know that we are of God. And what's the rest of it say? The whole world lies under the control of the wicked one. First position. John tells us very emphatically, very dogmatically, that if you trust in Christ as Savior, we know that we are of God. That's us. That's a believer in Jesus Christ. That's you. Whether I feel like it or not, and often I don't, God is our Heavenly Father through what? Adoption. We've been reconciled. We've been regenerated, rescued, redeemed, all through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. New life. All of grace. Nothing we have done to deserve that. Pure grace. That's one of the reasons we sing, is it not? Don't we sing? Don't we come together and sing the great hymns and choruses of the faith? Because our hearts ought to be overflowing about the good things God has done for us in Christ. While we were yet sinners, what happened?
Praise name.
We need not to forget that. We sing on Wednesday mornings, and if you're here on Wednesday mornings with us, we have a little red chorus book we've dug out of the archives, and we're singing songs. We go to camp, and before you sit down and eat, we sing choruses. And we've lost those choruses, so we're not going to eat on Wednesday morning, but we're going to sing the choruses today. We're going to have a good time. Our salvation, as we said, undeserved. It gives us a new purpose for everything we do. And one of my jobs, one of our jobs here as teachers is just to remind us, to remind you of who we are in Christ. We know that we are of God, we are His. Here is the second position in 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. And this is the part we believe, but we really don't want to believe it. Okay, we say we want to believe, we know this is true, but it's really not that bad out there. It's that bad out there. Okay, it's that bad out there. The Bible tells us, all right? It says here in the second part of 1 John 5, verse 19, I ask you to read it, the whole world, the whole system lies in the power of the evil one. That's Satan and his innumerable, evil, fallen angels. The whole world. By the way, I'll ask you this. What does the whole world include? What's the whole world include? I mean, be specific. Okay, be specific. What?
Government.
Society.
Religion.
Religion? Yeah. Education. Entertainment. The media. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Satan is the what? The god of what? This age. Defeated at Calvary. Trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. You know that, right? What was the last temptation there? Well, not the last temptation. The early temptation. The third temptation. Satan takes Jesus out of the pinnacle of the temple. Shows him all the kingdoms of the world. Said to him, I will give you all of this if you would do what? In other words, don't go to the cross. Don't go to the cross. Satan is defeated but not dethroned, and the world has no idea. When we were in school years ago, before I went to college, there was a book out there by Hal Lindsey. Remember Hal Lindsey? Remember him? He wrote a little book called Satan is Alive and Well on Planet Earth. John says the whole world lies in the power of the evil one right now. Let me say a word number two about your personal history. I know what we need to see this morning, we've done it before many times. According to Colossians chapter 1:13 and Ephesians chapter 2:1-5, you and I, the moment we trusted Christ, that whole process, however you look at it, we were rescued from the kingdom of darkness, that Satan's kingdom, and we were transferred where? Into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Satan does not take that lightly. He does not want to let people go. Not without one fight, a continual lifelong battle. He will never, never let you alone. In fact, in Luke chapter 4, verse 13, and I'll move on here. In Luke 4, verse 13, don't need to look this up. At the end of the temptations in the wilderness, when Satan was done soliciting the Son of God to abandon his position, Luke says that the devil left Jesus until an opportune time. He never let him go. He will never let you go. Unless you're doing nothing for Christ, then he won't have to do anything. Okay, if you want to do something for Jesus, if you want to do something for God, if you want to be obedient in that direction, you're going to have a hassle, a continual warfare, and we're going through that. We're going through that. Third thing I want to say. Salvation fact. You know this, but let me tell you this morning. When you got saved, you were not saved to join a party or a happy playground. You were saved to join a battlefield. You understand that? A current, ongoing battlefield. One of the reasons we're praying for Dr. Angotti continually, I hope you're praying for him, because he's going around talking about praying for one another, prayer seminar. It is just amazing the battlefield that God is opening up for him. He'll tell you about the last month of navigators. Salvation fact here, our enemies are unseen. I remember several years ago, I sat with Dave Clancy, and I believe I didn't say anything for 3 hours. That's a miracle. He can all talk to you. Tom, you don't believe that, do you? He started talking about his years in Vietnam. And I said to myself, shut up. And I listened. I wish I would have taken recording. I really wish I would have taken recording. It was just amazing. And Dave told me many, many times that when he was in battle, you did not know who the enemy was because they all looked alike over there. They all looked alike. They were unseen. He said, I never took my boots off. I never took my boots off. And when one day came and we took our boots off, there were no socks left. They were just disintegrated. I remember him telling me that they would set up this, you know, that kind of barbed razor wire, two or three layers of that stuff, and American soldiers would sleep in the middle with two or three layers of this barbed wire, razor wire. He said, you know, the Viet Cong soldiers could climb in and out of that stuff, slit your throat, and climb in and out, and you never know. You know what? In those kind of days, you keep your armor on, don't you? You never take your boots off. That's the kind of battle we're in today. The enemy knows us intimately. If you're on a football team, your captain or your coach probably shows you tapes of the opposing team as you're getting ready for a game. Satan knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He studied us for years. In fact, I believe his army knows us far better than we know them. Too many Christians doubt the reality of the spiritual battle because we can't see it. We see the results. We don't see. In fact, Jesus said something phenomenal. He said a lot of phenomenal things. Jesus said, when the word of God is sown, remember the parable? Satan comes and snatches it away. That means when you're preaching, you're teaching, you're witnessing, you're in the word, there's a battle going on. And I don't know how that works. It's just the Lord said it. So I believe, right? Ephesians chapter 4, number 4. Let's look at Ephesians 4 this morning. Ephesians 6 this morning. Ephesians 6. I want to give you just 4 observations right from the text in front of us. And I want to give you 3 points this morning. Alright? I'm going to sing a little bit. Ephesians chapter 6.
We went to a school, Brother Dave and I, where Dr. Hendricks told us just to look at the text and write down observations. Here's the observations right in front of me for you to see. Just let me pull out a few. All right? Let me read it, and then we'll look at these right in front of you. I want you to see this. Ephesians 6, beginning verse 10. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes, the wiles of the devil." And he tells us why. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, since that is the case, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Four observations. A on your notes, the final emphasis in Ephesians we find in verse 10. And the Apostle Paul, and Ephesians, by the way, is a wonderful book, you know that, after he declares and reviews for us our position in Christ and how we ought to live in the church and in the world and at home, he focuses here with laser intensity, tells us to put all our dependence on the Lord. In other words, don't rely on yourself. You can't. You rely on yourself, you're too weak. How many times have I tried to figure out things or solve things without myself? I can't do it. I'm making things worse. That's the final emphasis. That's the emphasis. Being on God. B. Second thing, verse 11. Your personal responsibility. And I want you to see this again this morning in the present. He tells us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. That's you as an individual. I can't put on your armor for you. Or I can't do it. No one else can do that for you. Your mama can't help you with it. She can't. There's a lot of things we can help you with. There's a lot of things I need help with. But there's some things you just have to do for yourself. Okay, the armor's here. It's been provided for you. You have to put it on. Got that? Nobody can do it for you. I'll give you a couple of analogies, and you'll get tired of my analogies, okay? We go down to Harvey Cedars Bible Conference. I love it down there. I love it down there. And my friend who's the director, I'm glad he's my friend. That's great, because it's good to have a friend in a place like that. He gives a speech once a week to all the new people coming down to Harvey Cedars for orientation. By the way, where's Harvey Cedars?
Very good.
I didn't want to say New Jersey. Okay, I mean, it's by the ocean.
New Jersey, by the
don't say Jersey. Yes. Yeah, don't say Jersey. Yeah, it's by the ocean. And so, all these people come from all over the place. And what do you think they want to do at the ocean? They want to work on their tan. And so what they do is, they go down to the beach the first day. The sun's not even shining. But they burn themselves inside out and have a miserable week. So John gets up there and says, I can almost give you the speech he gives you. He says, you know what? Put on the sunblock. But the sun's not shining. Put on the sunblock. You know what it feels like when you burn the tops of your feet, your dogs? You know what that feels like? It's miserable when you try to sleep. And when they're staying in your bed to begin with, you just can't sleep. I can put it on for you, but it would be awkward. Okay, put on the sunblock. Put on the sunblock. This makes me nervous, but on a nice warm day at the beginning of summer, we start getting the clothes catalogs with sales on winter coats. It's too early for that. You know, I used to get real nervous when right when school ends, what happens in the mail? The back-to-school sales start. It would make me sick. I can feel it in my stomach. But anyhow, all these coats are on sale. It's going to get cold. I promise you, I get shocked. You ever get shocked sometimes? It gets cold outside. And my wife says to me, like she always says, well, it happens every year. Repeat it after me. It happens every year. I'm shocked. I can't believe it's snowing out. It happens every year. All right. Anyhow, I can't put on your winter coat for you. Okay? If I put on my coat, and I want the warmest one I can find, because we little guys get cold. In fact, I keep mine with me all summer. Like, putting on my coat on me is not going to keep you warm. In other words, if you want to be warm up there, what do you have to do? You got it. I'll give you one or two more, and then that's it. Maybe one. Yeah, one more. My kids went to school, almost all of them went down to school, down in Greenville, South Carolina. And we found out very shortly they call it Greenville for really good reason. Guess what happens down in Greenville all the time? It rains like crazy.
It really does. And when I first went to see the college down there, Bajon, that I saw these little things all over the place before you would enter a building. All these little things look like an upside down bee's nest or something. They're umbrella holders. Because down there you have to have a gigantic umbrella. It rains. And you know what? If you don't prepare for the rain, if you don't have your umbrella, you as an individual, what happens? You get drenched. Same with spiritual warmth. I have a few more, but I'll spare you for now, right? What I want you to see, seriously, I want you to see this is your responsibility. If you do not put on the armor, the Bible says you will not be able to stand. I don't care how long you were saved, how much Bible you think you know, no armor, you're not going to stand. You're not going to stand. You're going to get defeated. Third thing we want to say from the text. See, on your notes, verse 12, we said this before, I'll say it again. The enemy is unseen. You have an unseen enemy, verse 12. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, Paul said. We don't wrestle against something we can see and touch, feel, and smell. Real enemy, he is the source of our struggle. Powerful spiritual beings, we can't see them, we can't hear them or feel them, but they're there. Sort of like years ago when our kids were little, we took them to upstate New York, and we took them to, you know, we're homeschoolers, so we took the little kids to study a pig farm upstate New York. And they raised all these little piglets, and they were cute, and one day they would become, you know, on your shelf somewhere, kind of thing. And so the kids were able to hold the pigs and all that kind of thing, and the place stuck like crazy. It just stuck like crazy. So I said to one of the owners of this place, I said, "Hey, man, how in the world can you stand the smell?" You know what he said? What'd he say? What smell? What smell? That's the battle. That's what we say. We say, well, what battle? I mean, we see the results all around us. We see the struggles we're going through, whether it's marital tensions or home tensions or work tensions or neighborhood. We see all the stuff, but we don't see the real struggle. We don't see the real struggle. And by the way, verse 12 tells us, and we'll take it apart a little bit more, these demonic beings are experts, they're senior executives when it comes to magnifying and actively using the capital sins in our lives. And let me tell you what the capital sins are. We're going to study about that a little in a while. Pride, lust, gluttony, sloth, wrath, greed, envy, and the list goes on. They are experts, the unseen enemy. They know our weaknesses, they know what we do, and they know where our default modes are, what we do. Fourth thing, D. We said this, verse 13, gives us the key to survival and victory. Verse 13, this is the case, we're told to take up the whole armor of God. Do everything, and if you do what the Word of God tells us, you will be able to stand. There's a promise. There's a promise of victory here. I believe one of the reasons Mr. Dick Berg, we miss him dearly, was able to end well as a faithful soldier of Jesus Christ because he got up 5-something in the morning and he went out walking and he put on his armor. He told us he had a whole system. He had the system down. And that's why this man lived with joy and victory. He had his armor on. He had his armor on right to the end. Now, I want to give you 3 big points. We'll say that, is it picking today? It's Christmas, huh? When I see that, I don't pay attention to the date. You know, I know Brian's cooking hamburgers and hot dogs, so that, I heard that part. So anyhow, we'll sing and go to Sunday school. All right, here we go. Here we go. Why study this now? Why now? Well, personally, there's just a lot of unexplainable things going on. In church here, there's stuff going on I can't get a handle on. Things just don't make sense. You know, we've been around a while. We used to be able to explain, well, this is happening because of this reason, but there's just some strange stuff going on here. In our neighborhoods, in our worlds, I'm seeing great men of God out there. This is a new thing. I was with Pastor Ben last Sunday, and got a really good guy. We're going to get him here to talk to our guys sometime. And we were chatting. He's a pastor downtown, loves the Lord, doing great things in his life, that guy. And, we're talking about what's going on. I've never seen this before. You know, it used to be when a man of God wiped out years ago when we were younger, there was immorality going on. It was terrible. And you didn't hear about it because we didn't have the internet and all the ways of communication. There's something new going on. At least Pastor Ben was pointing.
this out. He's right. There's a lot of great men of God out there. And they're messing up amazingly. And it's not immorality. It's power surge. It's power surge. You wouldn't, I'm not going to tell you who they are, but there's amazing guys all over the place. Authors, gifted, powerful, they're wiping out. And it's the definite pride of Satan. It's unbelievable. There's warfare going on. And by the way, you know this. There's incredibly good teaching available for us and to us on spiritual warfare. I recommend highly, you know, Tony Evans, MacArthur, Piper, there's a bunch of them. And so you may need to go and read some more stuff on this, but there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And I think we need to take a fresh look at the armor. We really need to do that. So three things, right? Number one, I want you to notice, go back to Ephesians 7:6, I want you to notice the intense spiritual cry for alarm. In verse 6, chapter 6, verse 10 and 11, when Paul ends the letter and he says, finally, it's sort of like he's taking a bugle and sounding the battle cry here. He's trying to wake us from passivity, alert us to reality. He's saying, pay very close attention. Open your eyes. I'm starting to use my smartphone. I know some people can't believe it. And I'm seeing we get Amber Alerts. I got several Amber Alerts last week. You know what that means? There's a potential kidnapping going on. I get storm warnings. I remember coming home one night from church, right before I leave. I mean, this thing was going on and on and on. It blew Tom's greenhouse away. That's how bad that storm was that night. I remember getting these warnings. I had a couple of guys were in my yard yesterday from 7 in the morning to 7 at night doing tree work. And I was out there. The guys were high in one tree. I can't even see them. They're high doing something. And so I'm out there with a cup of coffee, walking around, just doing what I do, chatting. And they're screaming at me, get out! Get out of the way! And I ran, and bam! Probably you can preach this morning, hey? That's a spiritual cry. Paul's saying, wake up! Wake up! Pay attention! Only when we rely on the strength and power that comes from our position in Christ, we will be able to stand. Remember Peter? He tried to stand on his own. Couldn't do it. That's number one. Number two, let me give you three reasons for now. Let me give you three reasons why we need the armor. Three reasons why we need the armor. Verse 12. We're repeating this. I want you to see it again this morning. Number one reason, because of the invisible enemy. Because of the invisible enemy. Remember what John tells us? The whole world lieth where? In the power of the wicked one. That's an invisible enemy. Our enemy is invisible, not flesh and blood. You can't detect him through five senses. We must lay our worldly wisdom aside and see them through eyes of faith. Verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And by the way, what God says about this is more real than what we can figure out on our own. And we need to obey Him. We need to listen to Him. I have, whether you believe what they write or not, I just got the October issue about a week or so ago. I don't know how they do that. Consumer Reports. And the main article here is, who is watching you? And they have an article to alarm us a little bit of all the digital things out there and all these things that are taking our privacy from your phone to, if you have an Alexa, they have all kind of things in your cars and all. They're spying on you. And every time you click on something, somebody knows what you're watching, somebody knows what you're doing. And you know what? I believe the spiritual enemy knows far more what's going on with us than any of these devices that we're told to be afraid of. The enemy is invisible. That's why we need the armor. The second reason we need the armor is because of the organized hierarchy of evil. The organized hierarchy of evil. Not just one devil, there's all kinds of ranks. It says here, against principalities, powers, rules of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Dr. Swindoll calls these the spiritual mafia. They are organized, they have ambition, there's ranks. And by the way, if you attend Dr. Cohen's lectures on eschatology, and I don't know if he's going to get to this, he probably will one of these days, you know there are some demons that were so evil because of their past sin that they're held in bondage right now,
In fact, I believe if you go over by the Tigris and Euphrates, there's demons in bondage under there that will be loosed, we believe, during the tribulation period when God lets them loose to do all kind of havoc on the world. And even though there's a hierarchy of organized evil right now, they're being restrained. They're being restrained. I will say more about that. Third, we need to put on the spiritual armor because of the real forces of unparalleled wickedness. It says here in the last part of verse 12, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Pastor Kent Hughes wrote, this is sobering. He says, Satan has no conscience. Satan has no compassion. Satan has no remorse. Satan has no morals. He feeds on pain and anguish and filth. No human is beyond redemption. Satan is. The worst evil person or thing on TV is nothing in comparison with this wickedness in high places. Pure evil. And by the way, you might know this, but as we said with the demons in bondage right now, there's restraining going on right now. There's restraining. By the way, what restrains ultimate evil right now? What restrains ultimate evil? Holy Spirit. But how does the Holy Spirit do it? He just doesn't, fly around out there. How does the Holy Spirit restrain evil? Through you. Through the church. When you take a stand for righteousness, when you're complaining about what's going on with marriage, or when you take a stand for life, or all those other things, you know what? We're restraining evil. I believe that the next event on God's prophetic timetable is the rapture of the church, when the believer will be taken to heaven. When that happens, I believe the Spirit will be removed in a sense. I mean, the Spirit is God, so the Spirit's always here. But the Spirit will restrain influence. And when that influence is removed, all hell will be able to break loose on planet Earth, and the Earth is going to see wickedness they've never dreamed possible. I have a friend, Pastor John Grove, and he's up in New York, went to Dallas together, and he travels in deliverance ministries, and he called the other day, and it's amazing what's going on with wickedness. John Stott, pastor of the Lord now, he says, wobbly Christians who have no firm foothold in Christ are an easy prey for the devil. That's why you need the army. Number three, you're going to notice, third point I want to give you, before we're done here, I want to mention quickly the effects of wearing the armor. The effects of wearing the armor. This is good news. Let's end with some good news. Three effects when we follow what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6. Number one, three effects. Number one, if you put on the armor, I will begin to explain that next week, and by the way, it's all provided for and fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. When you put on the armor, number one, you will have, as promised here, you will have the ability to stand firm. That's promised. You will be able to stand firm. It says so. Look at verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand. In verse 13, in the evil day, having done all to stand. The results of having God's supernatural protection. When we resist Satan and his forces in God's armor, he will flee like a one author said, Satan will flee like a frightened cockroach scurrying from the light. You ever see that happen? We did it all the time in Dallas for 4 years. We lived in a little cheap, what do you call those? They had Roach Motel. Remember the Roach Motel? I'd buy them. We had Roach Motel A and Roach Motel B. Don't tell me it didn't happen up there. There were little boxes that roaches would be able to check in. And guess what? I give up. Hey, we were poor. We had those things. We had an apartment. And it was hot down in Dallas, and when the neighbors would spray, they'd all come and live with me for a while. But I didn't know that, right? You were down there. And so, Doc, did you remember those things? He was down there. I met him down in Dallas in 1978. I knocked on the door and said, I need a prescription. And he just looked at me. He still does that. I need a prescription. I remember we'd been cleaning the little apartment on Swiss Avenue, and we'd move a picture. You know, we move some picture or something on the wall, and then all of a sudden, everybody ran. I mean, it's like behind those pictures. I thought it was fun after a while. I mean, every morning there was a roach in the tea kettle. That's another story. Well, when light hit the roaches, they're gone. Or maybe, if you don't know anything about roaches, it's sort of like when a vampire comes into the sun. I mean, they just melt right in the cylinder. You got the armor on? Satan can't sting you. Satan can't sting you. Got the picture? Okay, don't think roaches. Think about that. I'll tell you, we can see roaches in our sleep after a while. Just, oh, man, fun. We'll tell you that story another day. Boy, they're a fun time. They're a fun time. You build these things. Let me move on here. I get distracted. You know that. Second thing here. A friend of mine who's a pastor, he went for 30 hours of testing. 30 hours of testing. He's a great guy. I want to bring him some, here sometime. And they determined, you have, what, an ADD or something? I said, you don't need 30 hours of testing here, man. Even that. 30 seconds. Oh, boy. That's why I bring all these notes with me, okay? So. Number second here. Second effect, the ability to discern the devil's schemes. The second effect of wearing the armor, the ability to discern the devil's schemes. Paul calls in this old word wiles in verse 11, wiles of the devil. That's his methods. That's the way he operates. He's predictable, but his craftiness in scheming and has countless devices in his arsenal for undermining our spiritual work. But he's not creative. But he does know our weaknesses. He can and does target and exploit our weaknesses to his advantage. And Paul says when the armor is put on, we'll have the ability to recognize his schemes and stand strong. And then thirdly, and this is great. When you wear the armor, when you put your armor on, you will have the ability to be ready for what? Anything. Anything. Say that. How many times will I catch myself saying to my wife, I didn't see that coming. There was that. I didn't see that one coming. And then the situations happen with people or events or whatever. I never saw that one coming. I get caught off guard. You know what? Maybe I'm neglecting the armor. When your armor's on, you'll have that discernment. You will not get caught off guard. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the church about a brother who is sinning in the storage, and he's bringing it back, and he's restoring, and forgiving. Otherwise, Satan will gain victory here in our congregation. And we are not ignorant. We are not ignorant of his ways. We have our armor on. We know exactly how the enemy operates, and we're not going to let him have victory here. That's what Paul says there. The ability to be ready for anything. Latter part of verse 13. That you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I want to pause for a moment right now. We've got a few moments. And I'd like you to open up your hymnal to 172. I hope that's right. Is that the right one? 172. I'd like you to stand. I'd like you to really, I was going to read these to you. But as Brian, if he would lead us in singing one of the great hymns of the faith. And maybe we'll come back and take apart a little bit in another week or so. Luther's thinking, because he's writing poetically. He's writing years ago, you know that. But one of the great hymns of the faith that really alerts us to the battle going on. Brian, come and lead us in 172. Okay? And then I'm not done.
Thank you.
because the second commandment, did we in our own strength comply, our striving would be losing. That's where we're at. We're leaning on our own understanding. And we wonder why we're losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you some great news before we close this morning. Number one, the spiritual armor has been provided for us free. Paid for, it has been tested, and it has passed with 100% accuracy, all found in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my plan is to go through the various pieces of armor and go back to Isaiah and show you how all these were fulfilled in the person of Christ. And once you put on Christ, you have the armor on for walking in Christ, the conquering King who defeated Satan at the cross. Next week, we'll unpack, Lord willing, the belt of truth, but until then, remember this. Number one, we're at war, and we can't see the enemy. We can't see the enemy, that's why it's so tough. Number two, no satanic attack is stronger than God. God is still sovereign, okay? God is still sovereign. Why he allows what he allows, he hasn't always told us. Number three, no satanic attack, no satanic scheme can penetrate God's armor, okay? That's what the Word of God is telling us. And fourthly, no satanic wickedness can ever prevail ultimately against Christ's church. That's why Jesus said to Peter, after Peter confessed the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, I say this to you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock, that's the confession he just made, I will build my church. And the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it. Glory be to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the victory in Christ. Thank you, Father, for the victory secured for us at Calvary. Thank you, Father, for resurrection morning, when it was declared that he is no longer dead, he is alive. He has been risen from the dead. Thank you that our Lord Jesus is at the right hand of your throne making intercessions for our needs this morning. The Father, we ask that you give us due diligence to take the warfare seriously, very seriously, and to take the armor you have provided for us and to figure it out, use it, put it on, and be able to stand in victory. May we in this battle, this spiritual battle, be a blessing to one another. And may we at times before we go forward thinking a certain way, may we back up and ask ourselves, is this a result of the battle? Is this a result of the unseen battle? And Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the Spirit of God. We want to be obedient.